Hello and welcome to this week's episode of our weekly podcast, Flats and Shanks.
Who are you?
I'm a very subdued and fatigued Tom Shanklin. Who are you?
I am a close to dead Di Flats.
Okay. For those of you that listen to this, we do have an ITV and STV podcast out covering all of the Six Nations. So if you want some rugby chat, if you want some rugby nauseating chat, but obviously still very clinical.
Lush chats, yeah.
Make sure you get on that podcast and review it. This is just our weekly one where we chew the fat.
Yeah, chew the cud.
This is where we chew the oyster.
This is where we chew the raw horse, because we're in Japan, that's what people do.
I just want to mention that we are doing a live show on Tuesday, the 5th of March.
What?
In Flatiron Square with Guinness. We did one a few weeks ago with the great Lord Mike Tyndall. On Tuesday the 5th, it starts around 6 o'clock, doors open. We are doing it with a ledge. He's been on this pod before. One of the worst dressed blokes I know, but a phenomenal leader, Gareth Thomas.
He is a funnily poor dressed man, isn't he?
Yeah, he wears some fruity clothes. And he's not afraid to wear a pair of jeans, bell-bottom jeans, and a pair of old-school running trainers, and a gilet.
A gilet's all right, I'm afraid. Mm. I heard a gilet called a gimli recently. You ever heard of that?
No. Have you heard of a gilumper? It's like a gilet, but it has arms on it.
Oh, mate. There's a couple, I won't say the brand, because it's...
You don't need to.
A bit tossy, but there's one brand that makes the best gilumpers, if that's what you call them.
Yeah.
They're lush, like a gilumper, but then we got like sweatshirt arms.
Yes.
So nice.
Yes.
So I saw this website and I was like, oh, I'm having one of those. That's well nice. And it was 950 quid, so I'm not getting one of those.
Would you ever wear a gilet with a t-shirt?
Your mate Bubs does. I have done it many, many times.
It just confuses me. Just wear a jumper.
No, because I don't want my arms covered. Or my core warm.
Wow.
I don't want my arms covered. Mate, you can lose. If you get too hot, you don't get too hot.
You love your arms, though, to be fair. Every chance you've got to get them out, they could be freezing. You'll have a t-shirt on.
No.
Extra tight.
No.
Because you're losing weight. Well done, you.
I'm putting it back on now. This is not a tight t-shirt.
Wow. It's quite tight.
It's not tight. Anyway, forearms, where you expel loads of your heat. So if you get too hot, it's nice to have bare forearms.
Mm. For those that are unaware, Flats and I are in Japan at
Nippon.
The moment.
We're in Nippon.
In Kumamoto.
Kumamoto.
As Scott Crennel would say.
Yeah, we are... Shanks, just take them through it, will you?
Okay, well, I don't want to discuss this too much because we will be covering it on the ITV podcast, but basically we've been sent away to cover some tourist attraction points.
Well, it was optional.
Areas for... ITV during the World Cup, and it's been a brutal trip. We're on a tour. We're part of a tour party, and these tours are between 12 to 15 hours a day.
Well, it's 15 hours today, and we've opted out of dinner tonight.
I mean, we won't discuss this too much because this will take the bulk of our next podcast.
Yeah, but it would have been a 17 and a half hour day.
Yeah.
What you mustn't do in these situations is...
Moan,
but I'm trying my best. Let me ask you this, Tommy. If you knew what it entailed, when Michelle mentioned it a couple of months ago, would you have said yes?
I would, because I really enjoy working for ITV.
Correct.
It's a great company.
Correct. Same, absolutely the same.
What have you been up to?
What have you been up to?
A few things, mate.
What then?
Last week, I had a lovely lunch. Stephen Edwards, head of marketing, chief.
Is that Robert Walters?
Marketeer, yeah. That was really nice. I was in Gaucho in Piccadilly and we had a bit of a Six Nations chat.
Was it Rugger Bands?
Chips were lovely, yeah.
Oh.
Just went through some of the games, told a few old war stories.
Oh, God.
Time in Nam. Went on a bit longer than I thought I would. But, you know, I was just comfortable. You know, it was flowing.
Yeah, oh, it's lovely.
Then we were busy over the weekend as well. And then sort of Sunday hit, watched the Ireland-Italy game, stayed at yours. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Thank you for dinner.
You're welcome.
And we got really...
Hand-cooked, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Home-cooked and hand-cooked.
Hands-cooked. We didn't Hands use one. Hands-cooked. And we got really early taxi down to Heathrow.
Yeah. It wasn't as emotionally early as you thought. It's one of those things where... The thing is, with TV, right? The thing about TV is you can't... They can't afford for you to be late because when it rolls, when the camera rolls, it rolls, right? So I only found out after the last World Cup that I was the highest maintenance guy of all when it came to rearranging his already arranged by someone else cars to take you everywhere. Because the whole getting driven places sounds like a luxury, and often it is, but it can be the opposite because... They can't afford for you to be late. So the TV company want you to be super early to be sure. And the car company, not only do they not want you to be a minute late so they don't lose their contract with the TV channel, they also can't speed or go too quickly because it's their licenses or their livelihoods. So at one point, I remember getting to the Olympic Stadium or the London Stadium, whatever it's called, at midday for an 8 p.m. kickoff during the World Cup.
Yeah.
I was like, this is ridiculous. So... I got the driver's number and I just text him all the time and knocked my car back by 2, 3, 4 hours a time and I was still really early. But when we got the time through suggested for our run to Heathrow, what did I say, Tommy? I said, no way.
Yeah, he said, we could do that 45 minutes later.
That's what I said, wasn't it?
And to be fair, we were fine. There was a little bit of traffic, but...
We're okay, weren't we, mate?
I'm not as blasé and relaxed as you. I'm a bit more... I want to get there early and just... Like the cinema, I want to get to the cinema before anything starts, just so I can sit there, soak up the atmos.
You've known me for a long time. I am exactly like that.
Yeah.
I'm like that as well. I just didn't want to get up at 5, was the main thing. I'd rather miss a flight than get up at 5.
Yeah.
But now we're jet lagged and broken, getting up at 5 would be a luxury, wouldn't it?
Oh, it's been horrendous, mate. It's been horrendous. I won't lie to you guys or to you. But as you can probably tell by... The tone of our voice. I'm not colouring it today. It's just monotone.
Oh, my God. It's absolutely horrendous. Like, Michelle started WhatsApping us the other day, and she's just like, every time you moan, I'm deducting 50 quid from what you next get paid. And it's like, do you know what? I don't have £200 to give away, but I just want to do 4 big moans.
It's not the actual trip, though. It's just because we're just shattered and tired. We haven't caught up. We're still a bit jet-lagged. That's the only reason why.
Yeah, but it's when
I can't wait till I don't feel tired and I can just enjoy.
Not gonna happen, boy.
I can just enjoy the hot cold walking.
Oh yeah, walking on hot coals.
Yeah, I mean there's quite a few exciting things planned. Yeah. So
we've already done some cool stuff. It's not as cool when you're doing it in a haze of brutal fatigue. And we used to do those like marine camp weeks, didn't we, with our old teams of Saris and Bath and Cardiff and stuff, and pre-season, and the theme of the week wasn't that what you were doing was so hard, is that you were so tired. And I used to think, what is the point in putting us through this? Because you're not getting the best out of anyone, and we're not squaddies, we're not soldiers, we're not SAS, we are rugby players. Why not make us better at that? And I'm here and thinking, we're doing some great stuff here, but we're only half appreciating it because we are so exhausted.
The only thing that's picking me up every single day and every hour of the day is that when I do feel a little bit tired, all I got to do is look across to Stu, our cameraman, look at his face, look at his body language, and instantly I feel a bit better. I just think, I'm bad. That guy's in a world of pain. He's hating it more than anyone. He doesn't even like food that is cooked in Japan.
Yeah,
he doesn't like anything, does he?
He's doing it tough, mate. He's hanging tough big time.
He wants roast pork every day with a bit of crackling, doesn't he?
He wants fish and chips from Chippy.
Yeah.
He wants out of it.
We're sat here on the bed. We've got two beds in a twin room, although we're not sharing, which is a bit odd. In the Crown Plaza in Kumamoto, and we are going to order some in-room dining. And I'm all for buying into a country flats, and I'm all for buying in to try things and to try their culture and their food. But I am ordering off the Western menu tonight, boy.
You are a creature of habit, but I have, you're a bit basic on the food front, but you have been a hero. Mm. You've been an inspiration and a perspiration to me these last few days here in Japan. And everything that Tommy hasn't wanted, that they've asked him to try, he has tried.
I mean, we won't go into too much, and we can't, because we'll save it for the pod which is coming out.
We have to.
Sunday,
we have to.
There was conger eel.
Yeah. And I got spat at by an oyster this morning.
And there is an option of trying raw horse meat, and we'll tell you about that later on.
Yeah.
Don't divulge too much. I mean, Flats did eat his own body weight in oysters as well, but different type of oysters, grilled oysters. But
I did think to myself, when I walked out of there, I thought, you muppet, because to be bloated on oysters alone and nothing else, you have to eat a lot of oysters.
You have to eat loads of oysters.
And I thought, oh no, I've ever done it, I'm going to get sick. By the way, I just got an email through on my phone from Prem Rugby, and Skolt Berger's leaving Sarries at the end of the season. Not a massive surprise, because he's 35, but
Matthew Tate is retiring.
I just thought, Skolt Berger, what a top player,
yeah,
and what a lovely man. Because, you know, he's done a few naughty things on the field, like eye contact with the eye area and that kind of stuff. You expect him to be a bit of a meathead when you meet him, and he's just the most gorgeous bloke. He's so gentle and nice.
He's lovely.
Really nice. Matt Tate, gone. I tried to coin the name Bucket Ass for him, Bucket Ass, because he had a big, powerful bum.
He did.
It never caught on. He never even noticed that I tried to call him that.
I'll always remember two things about Matthew Tate. That would be his three things, actually, okay?
Yeah.
These really stand out. One would be his first cap against Wales and Gavin Henson.
Yep.
The second would be that fantastic run he did in the World Cup final against South Africa.
In a rubbish game.
And the third would be that cover tackle against Wasps he did, I think, on Dan Robson.
What a tackle. I was commentating on that match.
Mm.
I was commentating live, Tom. It was a sensational tackle. But, yeah, Tate is one of those guys that you say he's got 38 caps, you know, and people say, what, really?
Mm.
He just got a lot of caps because he could play a few different positions, and he was very quick. One of those guys that put very little effort into passing a ball, and it went a very long way. Ian Bolshaw was like that. So he's just a very talented guy, but he just very quiet and very quietly got quite a lot of caps for England.
Mm.
I mean, that's the equivalent of 380 Welsh caps. I mean, that's quite a lot, isn't it? That would make him the greatest player in history.
700 Scottish caps.
797 Scottish caps, so. So, hey, Tomboy.
Aye, Flatsy.
Big win for Gloucester, that, wasn't it?
30 points to 24 against Sarries.
I actually think Gloucester would be a bit disappointed to have given away a bonus point there towards the end, because I thought they were quite dominant.
Yeah.
But another point of view is that it's actually a really good point for Sarries, which it is, because missing so many top players, and Gloucester really aren't missing many. So, but cracking game, and Gloucester in a good bit of form, actually, especially at home. Lovely stuff.
Yeah, I like watching them play. Glasgow have also hit a little bit of form. They've struggled slightly through the season,
yeah,
really. But hammered Connaught, 43-17.
Wowzers.
Matawalu still doing a job on the wing.
Amazing how he didn't do a job at Bath, isn't it? He just didn't.
And he sort of
dominated.
Yeah,
at all.
But he's a winger. He's not a scrum half. He's a winger that can play scrum half rather than the other way around. Yeah, because a scrum half, you've got to be able to control a game, mate. You've got to be able to slow it down, speed it up. Tactically, you've got to be on the ball, and that's just...
Your service has got to be consistent.
Right, yeah, I think he's got a decent pass, but it's just knowing when to attack, knowing when to pull back a bit, you know, dictating the pace of play. That's basically what your nine does.
Got no one to hold him, no one to fold him, haven't you? I've always said it.
But they are definitely sort of title contenders in the Pro 14.
Yeah, they have played some lovely stuff the last few years. But yeah, they're a bit like Scotland this season, aren't they? In that they play some attractive stuff but don't quite find a way to win.
I didn't think Sale beat Wasps at the Rico.
No, especially after they got destroyed by Saints a week before.
Yeah, that really was a result that stood out. And the Wasp boys are under a bit of pressure at the moment.
Yeah, but mate, right, mate, I've said, been saying this for years, but Wasps are way too easy to score against. You look at Rob Webber's try. I mean, scrum penalty, easy yards, easy yardage from there. Rob Webber comes a little bit wide off nine, not even that wide. Flat pass to Rob Webber, and he effectively scores an unopposed try.
Yeah.
In the Premiership against Wasps away from home. It's
way
just
too easy.
Way too easy. And
it's like the Stockdale try against Italy. You know, just gifted a team a try.
So if you look, you take that easy try away, suddenly Sale, you know, scored fewer points than Wasps. But it's just like they seem to concede one or two easy tries in every game. The defence just is not good enough. It's just not good enough.
You expected Quins to beat Bristol at home, and they did.
Yeah, odd game though. Bristol again played some lovely stuff. So Falau's second try, Madigan's little dink through was just beautiful.
And
and Piatow's step on Mike Brown was ridiculous.
I was having a chat with John Thomas, who's forwards coach now at Bristol, and
he's been on the pod, hasn't he?
Yeah, he was just telling me what a great guy Charles Piatow is.
Oh,
he
said, I was hoping to be horrible.
Not only is he a fantastic player, but amazing to have around the boys. And I love hearing this because often sort of South Sea Islanders and can be a little bit quiet. They can be quite intrinsic and quite shy. But he said, mate, he's brilliant. He's really good with the youngsters. He's really good in training. He's a really good leader. He speaks really eloquently and in a way that people understand and motivates. And he said, you know, if you ever get players that are heads are down or they're sapping or they're not enjoying it, they're moaning, he just picks them up like that. And he says he's an unbelievable guy. He's a brilliant guy. And I love hearing that because you don't often hear things like that about players. You don't often hear what great squad men they are and how they lift other players. So I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, and
because he's a phenomenal player.
He's ridiculously good.
And Bristol as well, being a team that's struggling a little bit. So it's a nice story about him.
Yeah.
And what he does.
Yeah, great. And it's a good win for Quins. I mean, Bristol still scored 26 points at the Stoop. So I think there is some defensive work to do there. But I think when you play against a team like Bristol, they just, I don't know, I guess because you expect to win, I always feel like your adrenaline's not quite where it might be. And teams often don't defend brilliantly against bottom teams because, not because they're any more threatening, Bristol are a threatening team when they're going forward, but because they're kind of a touch more relaxed.
Do you think it's because they possibly might attack a little bit more? And when you attack and you're trying to throw the ball around a little bit more to score tries, you're susceptible to turnovers and to losing the ball in contact.
Yeah, and Bristol again, so you saw Ben Glynn, mistake in midfield, Ben Glynn, big second row, so Will Rowlands for Wasps last week scored from 50 or 60 metres out because there's no one in the backfield because everyone's on the attack.
Yeah.
Happened again, so he offloads this time to Marchant, but there's just no cover there. It's just such an easy try, and you think, well, it's all very well being that committed to your attack, but that's twice in 2 weeks it's cost you. You know, they're not the only two times this season, so I do think, while I enjoy, as a neutral, their philosophy, I do think it is bloody dangerous.
You know, we've talked about Italian teams in the Pro 14.
Mm.
Benetton beat the Dragons 57-7.
Holy majoli.
Obviously a professional region in Wales.
Wow.
And that's a whopping 57-7. And Benetton have massively improved this year. Over the last sort of 18 months, 24 months, you have seen a visible improvement, not only in the scores, but the way they play. They're a real physical team now. They've lost, obviously, a lot of players internationally as well. But to be able to pump 50 points on Dragons, they beat Scarlets recently at home as well. So they're going in the right direction. You know, they've got Benvenuti, who's not being selected at the moment for Italy. He's playing in the centre. You got
He's not welcome in the Italian squad. He's not welcome. I think Benvenuti.
Well done, yeah.
Okay, so yeah.
Ioni on the wing. Ratuva as well for Gino. So there's danger men around there. And you think, like, Herbs is a real industrious second row and carries very strongly.
Son of a gardener, isn't he?
Halafihi as well.
Mm.
Excuse me? Making jokes while I'm trying to get my names right. At number 8. So Well done, Benetton.
They're
up, and I think they were second. Or
isn't
third.
It funny how it hasn't really translated to the national team?
Yeah, I think it is slowly, but it's taking time. Mm. I think we saw visible improvement. I think they're heading in the right direction. As
I hope so.
As we talked about, the Blues beat Edinburgh away, which is a big result for Cardiff Blues.
Yeah, is that?
Edinburgh have been playing well at the moment, and you know they've got Fife, they've got Johnston playing. Cecchini, Van der Vaart was at 10, Schumann, you know, it was a team that was Bill Matter, the catalyst for Edinburgh. If he plays well, then look out. But the Blues went up there, did a job, so they'll be really trying to climb that table. Not so much to challenge for Pro 14 playoffs, but just to get in Europe, because it's the top three of every group. And then
yeah, but they get into Europe and rest everyone, because they're losing games in the league. What's the point?
Money. Financial.
There you go. That's the answer. Exeter Newcastle wasn't the best game knocking about. Comfortable win for Exeter, but I do think Newcastle are in trouble. The Skidders are on there, and
yes,
I think they're banging trouble.
Mate, they're going down.
I reckon they might be. You know, I'm going there this weekend actually to watch them play Worcester. That is a very important game.
I'm watching Sunderland Till I Die at the moment on Netflix.
Good.
Loving it. I can't wait for the next episode. I'm watching it as fast as I can. And it's not, there's no real feel-good story about there, but it's like, it's a fly-on-the-wall documentary. So it's real people's lives, and you're seeing how it's affecting real people, and not just the players who are struggling, but, you know, the ground staff, the kitchen staff, the people that just make the club tick. It's great watching it, but also, you know, you feel really sorry for them as well, because you've seen how well a team like Sunderland have done in the past and what legends have managed there and come from there. And all of a sudden to see a team like that, that everybody knows, just struggle every single game, trying to get confidence, momentum, trying to sign players in the transfer window. It's if you're from Sunderland, you support Sunderland, it is quite heartbreaking. But
you're a Sunny.
A fantastic.
Can I ask you a question about one person in particular?
Yeah.
Is Chris Coleman a great guy, or is he a bit too happy with himself?
He's mustard, mate.
Is he?
He's mustard. Created it, didn't he? Coleman's mustard.
Gotcha.
I think he's a very good leader of men. Like, I don't know anything tactically about football, but the way he speaks and the way he motivates men, what he did with Wales during the Euros, I would like to be managed by him. I'd like to be his friend, because he speaks sense. He speaks in a way that galvanises a team.
Why don't you get Michelle to...
It makes you want to play for him. I think that. But at the moment, he can only work with what he's got in Sunderland and not the quality of players.
Why don't you get Michelle to ring his agent and arrange a meet-up?
Do you know what? I'd quite like a phone call from him now.
Yeah, just to get you, pep you up a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're broken men, aren't we?
I mean, we've had a negative, and at the moment, I need two positives. One just to get back to normal, and one just to have a positive.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, anyway, I think that will do us.
Well, hang on a minute. Hang on, just quickly.
Yeah.
Bath went to Saints and were winning with hardly any seconds to go and lost in the last minute.
No.
David Ribbons, the second row, tapped and went quickly. Max Lahiff put a massive hit in on Lewis Ludlam.
Yep. Who's
great tackle. Cracking player. Yeah, cracking player. Playing really well. And big guy as well. Actually bigger than he looks, if that means anything. But strong guy. And Max Lahiff bashed him backwards, and then penalty was given and he turned his back and Dave Ribbons ran right at him, and it cost Bath the game. So that is a costly loss, that bit of sort of mental switching off from a really good player who doesn't often switch off mentally. But it does happen. Todd Blackadder even fingered him for it after the game.
Really? Pointed the old...
He fingered
index.
Him. He fingered him for it.
Waggled the index.
He didn't say the name, but you knew exactly who he was fingering from the description.
Yeah.
And he fingered him on telly. Live TV. Live. It was live fingering.
You don't want to be doing that in front of your family, do you?
No. I mean, you know, these people have got mums and dads. They've got feelings. Anyway, he got an absolute...
You don't see it that often either anymore, do
you? And I'm sure he got a good blasting back in the change rooms as well.
But it's something that not many people do anymore.
Be uncomfortable to watch that again on video, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
should we try and pick ourselves up for the next pod? Guys, this has been awful.
Mistake by him.
Yeah, this has been a sloppy pod.
Yeah,
Guys, we're just really broken. We've had about 10 hours sleep in four nights at the moment.
If you are listening to this in real time...
Which means as opposed to fast forward?
Well, as opposed to like a week or 2 weeks later. Can you tweet us and send us some motivational quotes or pictures or just something to get us going? I'd really appreciate that because...
Yeah.
I mean, you are what makes us tick. Without you, we're nothing.
It's like Billy Ocean said, when the going gets tough, the tough get going, and you and I are going to order a burger.
The going gets tough, the tough start eating.
Yeah, we're going to watch a movie and order a burger.
Yeah, okay.
All right, bye.
Arigato.
Arigato. Sayonara.
I forget, mate. I forget all the time.
Jinx. Oh. Jinx again. What are we like?
I love bowing out here as well.
What are we like?
I love bowing out here.
Oh, Shanks bowing.
There we are. That's enough.
David Bowie. They don't stop till you stop, he reckons. So he just keeps bowing like a nodding dog. It's painful. Doing it, getting in the lift, bowing until the door's shut. Then he just shouts, dismissed.
Right.
Anyway, bye.
Bye.